This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk.
You can't look back on any of that stuff and say, oh man, you just got to say, this is my path and everything happened for a reason. And it's all led me to here. And now, you know, they say sky's the limit. I'm so excited for the next chapter. You know, they say that the best is yet to come, you know, bringing it back to like a Frank Sinatra, New York. But it's, you know, I'm really excited about what's next.
You know that we always get really excited when we speak to somebody that's not in the UK. We are across the pond today chatting to the fabulous guest, James Ruiz. He's speaking to us from actual New York City. Apologies in advance for Ben's abysmal accent. And it's a fantastic chat. James is 15 months, just over, alcohol-free. Been with OTI, I think, all of that time. He's a brilliant member. He's got so much to share. It's quite an emotional episode as well, in parts. Anyway, I need to stop talking and we need to let James tell his story on Over the Influence.
Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
When I decided to stop drinking at 30, I didn't know anybody else in my life who was sober. The idea of never drinking again was really scary, but I knew that I had to do it for my own mental health. My drinking had got out of control and it wasn't bringing me any joy anymore. However, I thought a life being alcohol-free would be dull and boring, and I was desperate to meet other people who had this experience and that I could learn from and also talk to them about it. I researched endlessly trying to find somebody that understood what I was going through. I read lots of Quitlit, etc., and I stumbled across the OTI podcast and how life-changing that was. I then joined the community a few months after it opened, and that really skyrocketed my AF journey. Meeting other people who were really cool, had great life stories, were really insightful, knew exactly what I was talking about, could offer support, advice, friendship, but also laughter, was game changing. These people have become my real life friends, and I'm really, really proud to say that not only am I alcohol free and loving it, but I know lots of people now that don't drink, and that has really helped me to stay on this sober path. So if you're considering stopping drinking, if you really enjoy the podcast, then please do join up to the community. Everyone says it's a game changer, and it's not just about stopping drinking, it's about finding out about what you want to do with the rest of your life.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to this week's episode of Over the Influence. It's absolutely fantastic to have you listening. My name is Sharon Hartley. I'm based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. This year, I will be 7 years alcohol-free. In fact, my app pinged me the other day and said, "Did you see this milestone?" And I was like, "No. Too busy like doing other shiz." And it was over 2,400 days. It blew my mind. And it also showed me the money saved. And that's now well over £20,000, which in itself made me fall off my chair. Anywho, I am 51 years old, 3 kids, 1 husband, 1 beagle and a tortoise. Took a break from booze in 2018 and here I am still doing it, wanging on about it weekly with my lovely co-host, Ben Anderson. Ben, how are you doing?
Hi, fine, thank you. I'm Ben. I'm 36. I live in Liverpool, UK. I feel like we need to say that because we've got an international guest today. He's in New York City right
New
now.
York.
Hey, I'm walking here.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. I can't know.
Stop it, Ben.
Put it while you're ahead.
Stop it.
I'm dad to baby Leo, stepdad to Alfie and Millie, husband to Jem, and I gave up booze nearly 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years in the summer. We're having a chat to our guest, Shaz, in our kind of like little warm-up before we press the record button. And our guest said, "Look, I want to tell my story. There's a lot of layers to it." And it got me thinking, like, how many layers do I have? And I think, somewhat depressingly, there's me.
Yeah.
There's me when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And I think that they're my only two layers now I'm alcohol free, because life is much simpler. It really is. Now I've removed alcohol. Like, it's the clarity, it's the energy. Life is just so much simpler. I don't do stupid things anymore. I don't go out for a few beers, get myself into daft situations because I think they're funny, say stupid things to the wrong person. I don't do any of that anymore because I'm alcohol free. It's great. Back to you.
You're like the world's most rubbish onion with just two layers.
I really don't think I'm deeper than that.
Give yourself more credit than that.
No, we'll stick with that, James. We'll stick with that. Two-layer Ben, that's what we're going to call him from this point going forth.
Yeah.
Let's get into your layers. This week's guest on Over the Influence, he is a fantastic community member. He's called James Ruiz, and he's speaking to us like right now, this minute, and we just get a little bit giddy from actual New York City. Welcome to Over the Influence, James. How are you doing?
Thanks, Chaz. I am doing wonderful. And Ben, I am so glad to be here. And I hope that, you know, you guys are feeling that New York City energy.
Absolutely.
How's Midtown Manhattan?
It's
a Tuesday lunchtime.
It's great. It's a little chilly, but it's nice and sunny, which is great. And it's hustling and bustling.
I love it. Hustling and a bustling.
Hustling and bustling. Yeah.
Right, James, before we get into it all, before we start stripping back all these layers and finding out your story and, you know, where you are now, give us a bit of an intro. Who are you and what do you do? Sounds like an episode of Blind Date, that, which was a TV show off the 90s.
Sure. I have been preparing for this for a while in a couple of different ways. So I'm excited to be here and share my layers. So in terms of just my background, I'm 44 years old. So pretty much like right in the smack between you and Ben in terms of age. I'm married to my wife, Lisa. We just celebrated 16 years. We have two children, my daughter, Caitlin, who's 14, and my son, Avery, who's 9. And I live in Stamford, Connecticut, and I work in New York City. And so it's a lot of fun to have that go between each location. I grew up in the Bronx, New York, which is right outside of New York, and I work in the advertising industry. So I'm in digital advertising. And if you think about it, kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Mad Men or anything like that, but there is a lot of that whining and dining. And that's been part of the culture that, you know, I've been in the past 20 years or so. And it made it challenging, to break free from, you know, from alcohol and to take that choice. That kind of goes a little bit further into it. Kind of like, as you guys mentioned, you know, first and foremost, dad, husband, you know, are my biggest jobs.
Love that. Absolutely love it. Can we find out a bit more about your backstory?
No, we can't.
What do you want to know?
James is in advertising. I didn't know that's what you did, James. I know you've been in our community for a while. I'm really sorry. I didn't know that you were in advertising in New York City.
Yes, I am.
Chaz, before we move on, I've got to ask you, James, what do you think about my taglines? Over the Influence, Why Wait to Feel Great?
Oh,
can you see that on a billboard?
I absolutely love them. I absolutely.
Over the Influence. What next? Because, you know, sobriety is the foundation and everyone builds different things on that foundation. OTI, what next?
Yeah. I mean, I think it works for a branding campaign. I mean, let me know when you're ready to sign
James,
up.
James, Jeff, right now. Anyway, sorry, what we were saying was, let's go back a little bit.
Listen, James is only going to be nice. He's only going to say nice things to you, Ben, while he's on this call.
Yes.
And off the call, when we stop recording, he's going to say your idea is shit.
Yeah.
50p the swear jar.
Working on it for literally years. Yeah. Right, sorry, back to the serious conversation about alcohol-free life. Sorry.
Yeah, let's find out a bit more about you, and then what brought you to Over the Influence? We want to know it all, James.
Sure. So, you know, in terms of my drinking, you know, very much like everybody else, started in my teens, had, you know, a big group of friends, and we would all go out and party into college. And then pretty much into my 30s and 40s is when it started to change. But, you know, I'll tell you, even back in my teens and in my 20s, there was warning signs of just problematic drinking for me. And, you know, I think a lot of it was rooted in some childhood issues that I had. And it was mainly due to my relationship with my dad, who was in and out of our home, you know, pretty much when I was growing up, and I didn't have that strong role model father figure in my life, and, you know, always, you know, trying to compete, you know, for love and attention. And, you know, I was actually recently listening to Stuart Reeves, episode, Why Stuart? And it reminded me a lot of, you know, what he had described as well with his experience with his father and his stepdad. And, you know, that was something that left me, you know, feeling, you know, for a long time with these feelings that I had to compete with. And I think that I used alcohol, eventually as, you know, to numb and escape, those emotions. And it wasn't until I was finally able to break free from alcohol that I was able to really break free from those emotions and make a lot of that progress, on that side of the journey. So, you know, pretty much when I was in, you know, teens and 20s, I, you know, would start experiencing a lot of anxiety, and it was like this hamster wheel. And you know what? It's bizarre because, you know, when you're that age, you never really tie it back to alcohol. And, you know, even though you're always feeling the most anxious when you're hungover, but I would have public anxiety and public speaking anxiety, you know, at work. And, you know, I was trying to deal with it and figure it out for a long time. And I felt like, man, like, what is wrong with me? What's the deal? So, you know, I just felt like throughout that time in my life, I was looking for kind of true direction, purpose. And, you know, I felt as though alcohol was, you know, kind of always getting in my way. So it was strange because on one side, I was a very high achiever. I went to, you know, great schools. I went to prep school, great university. And then, you know, when I went into my professional life, I was very driven and I wanted to kind of grow and achieve. But at the same time, I wasn't looking for fulfillment in life. I was looking for more of kind of like just always climbing that mountain, always kind of like getting to that next step of what, you know, what I could achieve. And, you know, so very early on, I was kind of like, I had a mindset that I wanted to grow and I wanted to achieve and be successful in life. But the stuff with alcohol, I felt like was definitely holding me back for a long time. And then eventually I was able to start recognizing that. So I'll take a break there.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. Thank you so much for sharing that, James. We'll probably jump all over the show, actually, in terms of chronology and onions and layers and all the rest of it. What on earth brought you to Over the Influence?
Yeah. You know what? My next question was so similar. Like when you said that we're jumping all over the place, I was thinking, is it a really weird thing for you, James, being an American? Part of, you know, obviously we're an international community. We've got a very British feel. You know, we wang on.
Yeah. So,
we full arse it.
Yeah.
You know, is it odd being like, because you just talked about Why Stuart, like, you know, oh yeah, well, Why Stuart? And Why Stuart is a member of our community.
Uh-huh.
One of our fabulous Zoom hosts. But you speak about Why Stuart like, oh yeah, you know, we go back years.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's amazing to hear it. It really is.
So what brought me to OTI was, you know, and I'll skip ahead a little bit because there's more to cover, in terms of kind of like when the whole transformation started in 2015. But, you know, probably around like 2018 or so, started getting into Quitlid and started with Annie Grace, This Naked Mind, and started like joining online communities. And then fast forward a couple of years from there, I was listening to podcasts and I just stumbled across OTI somehow. And it was probably like 2022, 2023. And I just thought to myself, I'm like, I love their attitude. I love their energy. I love how they're talking about sobriety. I love how they're celebrating it versus stigmatizing it. And honestly, it just like, it was amazing. And I would, you know, started listening to it more and more. And by, I guess November of 23, I had already, you know, a stint of a good like 6 months that year that I had broken, but I kept on getting back on the horse and I finally just, I was at the gym one day and I said, I'm just going to pull the trigger and join the community.
Love it.
And honestly, it's probably been one of the best things that I've ever done. And, I started, joining the Zoom calls, and I'm a regular on Maggie's Friday morning call. So shout out to Maggie and all my friends there. And you know what? And I've honestly become good friends with the people on that call. And then from there, you know, it's the English thing is funny because I feel like everything in my life these days is English. My company is English. My OTI is English. I did the coaching course with Andy Ramage, which we could talk about. I just finished Six Pack Revolution, which I was in English. Everything I do is with Brits. I don't know what it is with me. Yeah. So literally, it's the good. British invasion.
And this is probably a good point, and I've got to bring this up because it just makes me howl laughing. This is brilliant. Ben, you're going to really like this. Can we just talk about the email or the message that you sent me, James, when you joined the community and like the vision you had compared with the reality that you faced?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started listening and I would hear your voice and I just pictured, like, I guess you guys use the word daft. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, like, yeah, this like British like rocker chick with like jet black hair and like a jean jacket. And I don't know, that's for some reason, that was the image that I had in my head. And then I saw what Chaz looked like and I was like, oh, wow. I was like, so it's almost like, I'm like, wow, she doesn't look anything like that. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like, what was the tone of the word? Like, oh, wow. Like, oh, wow.
It was...
Like, what was the...
Was it, oh, wow?
No, it was, wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, oh, wow. We'll take that one. I think. It's really made me laugh, that, James. Thank you.
James, let's go back. We are jumping a bit, and that's fine, because this is a real-life conversation. You prepared notes. We never do.
No, literally never.
Just going to let you know. But you talked about, you know, throwing forward and Andy Ramage in the coaching, but you mentioned that the transformation started, was your phrase, in 2015. So the Quitlets, that you started picking Quitlet up in around 2018, but 3 years earlier, the transformation started.
Yeah.
Talk to us about
that. It's amazing because I really have been, this has really been coming full circle over the past couple of months. And I've been thinking more and more about it as I was working on a speech for, so I do this thing called Toastmasters. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do Toastmasters, and that was something that I
haven't, sorry. What is that?
Oh, okay. So it's an international organization. So you probably have one that's close by to you. And it's basically a club where people go and they practice public speaking. So as I mentioned, I was dreadful at public speaking. I would get so anxious. My heart would beat and I would sweat and it would be awful. And I knew that if I wanted to grow in my career, that I needed to get over that fear of public speaking. So I joined Toastmasters. I've been doing Toastmasters as long as I've been married, since for 16 years. And just recently, I participated in the international speech competition, which is something I would have never done before. And in doing that, I kind of was telling my story. And, you know, so I've looked back on kind of what this whole transformation that I've gone through. And it really started in 2015. And it started, like, I was lost. I was lost in life. I was going through the motions. Like, everything was fine. I was married. I had a house. I had a career. I had, you know, I had a baby and one on the way. And, you know, but I just felt as though my life was, you know, not headed in the direction that I wanted to. And, you know, I mentioned before the relationship with my dad. And I remember, like, what I'd said to him right before, like, he finally left was that you taught me how to be a great dad because I never want to be like you. And I kind of realized that I felt like I was becoming like him. And, so I was on the train one day to work in the city, and I was having a random conversation with some commuters, and some guy had said, like, have you ever heard of Tim Ferriss? And I, like, no, I never did. And he was a podcaster and an author. So I'm not sure if you guys had ever heard of him, but he interviews a lot of high performing people from all different disciplines in life. And, you know, from the names of Brene Brown and Tony Robbins and Tara Brach and Gabor Mate and, you know, all these people. And those were like my original coaches and mentors. And on one episode, Tim was talking about morning routines. And he would say that if you win the morning, you win the day. And the two routines that he mentioned were meditation and journaling. So I started, I picked up Morning Pages, which is the journal that I still use to this day. And I started meditating and journaling. And I've been doing that for 10 years. And I felt like, you know, that's something that was able to, it allowed me to quiet my mind and then put my thoughts down on paper and then start seeing the recurring patterns that were happening in my life. And a lot of it was surrounding alcohol. So then from there, I, you know, that kind of like started the awareness. And then from there, I started going to therapy and doing more work along the way. And again, like alcohol was a main, you know, subject of like whenever things were going shitty, whenever things would go off the rails, it was always due to alcohol. So then finally around like 2018 is when I started taking that plunge into Quitlet and the Naked Mind and the podcasts and everything that went around it. And the funny thing is that by the end of 2019, I felt like I was getting a handle on things. And then COVID hit. And honestly, it just went, you know, all to, and, you know, like I feel like my drinking ramped up more than ever. Eventually I got to that point in 2022 where I was like, yeah, like I need to put a stop to this. And it was like, basically, I remember there was an unmemorable Mother's Day. I was just like, what the hell are we doing? And, you know, that was the first time I was able to take a long break. And then it was about 6 months or so. And then from there, I would kind of like get back on, get back off. But I would always like, I would never stay drinking consistently. Like, yeah, I tried the moderation. I remember your 20 days in 2020, Ben, or something. I always laugh at that.
Yeah, wow. You really have gone far back into the archives. Yeah. It's literally like episode 2 or 3.
But I remember I would be like, I said to one time, it's like, I'm going to drink 1 month and then I'm not going to drink. You know, I'm going to take 1 month by 1 month, and one will be a drinking 1 month, one will be a non-drinking month. I was trying to do all kinds of stupid moderation. But I find, you know, basically, I got to the point that I was like so done with it. And when I would slip up, I would get back on the horse. So it wasn't about how many times I would fall off. It was about how many times I was getting back up. And it was about resiliency and accountability. And there was, you know, online community, you know, another online community, before OTI. And then eventually it was when I joined OTI is that when it finally stuck for me. But then it was after sobriety that I was finally able to get the clarity to start working on the things that like were really, really like the stuff with my dad and all that stuff, and really like working through, you know, acceptance, you know, taking responsibility for myself, accepting the things that had happened in my life and, that they happened and I can't change them. And then moving on to forgiveness. And this was all the Toastmaster speech that I did spoke about this. It spoke about acceptance, and it spoke about forgiveness and being able to forgive myself, being able to forgive my dad.
Take your time.
Yeah. Thank you. And then eventually it came down to love was the last portion of it. And, you know, feeling as though, you know, when we're going through this stuff, it could feel very lonely, and just recognizing that I was never alone. You know, I had a great family. I had a great mom who was with me from when I was a kid, and, you know, gave me everything I needed, and, you know, always like just provided for me. And I had, you know, blessed with a great wife, you know, who was always there by my side and never made me feel as though there was something wrong with me as I was going through these challenges. And then, you know what? Faith has been something that has also been super important for me over the past couple of years. So, it's something that I've leaned into. So it's really like, as much as I'm at this point where I'm, you know, 15 months sober, I feel like I've grown tremendously over this past 15 months. And I just feel like I'm a different person. And I'm excited because I feel like I've had a lot of this in me for a long time, in terms of like, you know, just the motivation and the mindset and the wanting to like, you know, get out there and conquer the world sort of thing, you know, but now I feel free to really do it. And, you know, that brought me to, you know, last year training as a coach with Andy Ramage.
Wow. I've got the perfect segue for that, if you'll allow me.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the advertising industry in New York, Midtown, Manhattan. It's cool. We're in the UK's radio industry, which is just as cool, isn't it, Shaz?
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, one of the things I'm very proud of is, you know, as a radio person, my slick segues, because it's really interesting. This has been a 10-year journey, because 2015, you know, that transformation started, that's 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But actually it's in the last 15 months that you've actually, all those things that have been kind of in your consciousness, I would love to do this, I would love to feel like that, I would love to be like this, it's actually the last 15 months out of that 10-year journey that it's happened. And it's, you know, no coincidence, is it, that it was, you know, removing the alcohol that turbocharged that. The reason the slick segue comes because Andy Ramage sent out, I mean, he's sending out lots of emails at the moment, isn't he, Shaz?
Oh, all the emails.
We talked about this
on our premium podcast
the other day. I can't quite keep up with them all, Andy. If you're listening, Andy, I'm very excited for you with everything that you're up to, but it's just loads of things and I can't put them all in my brain at the same time. But I did read a fabulous one. Did you see his golden goal email, James, the other day?
I did
golden goal, where, and it was basically, he was saying, like, you know, you got all these different goals, exactly what you're saying. You know, I would love to be like this as a parent. I would love to, you know, be that, you know, available for my family here, and I'd love to really achieve this at work and da 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 da. I'd love to do bang 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 bang. Well, actually, really simplify it. What's the one goal that will make all of those things more likely to happen? It's removing the alcohol. You know, and actually, just how often do we say that? You know, that one day at a time thing. That just kind of focus one day at a time. But anyway, Andy, he's our mate, but he's been your coach as well. Yeah. You were going to get onto it. That was my slick segue.
Yeah.
Everything that you're talking about.
Sorry, that was
anyway,
slick.
It wasn't that slick, really, was it?
No.
No, it was quite a very long.
Quite long winded, quite wordy.
Yeah.
Like literally
nothing. But there was a point in there, I think.
It's so much of it has come full circle, and it's really incredible. And honestly,
that was it.
You know, honestly, it's all these threads that have linked back to OTI, which is incredible. And I do feel like I'm a big believer, as I mentioned, you know, like leaning into my faith in a path in life. And my speech was finding my path. And I think, you know, like I've had this path. So I can't look back with regret over the things that happened. I can't say, oh, my dad was a shit dad and he left and he was never there for me and he never supported me, you know, and you can't look back on any of that stuff and say, oh man, you just gotta say, this is my path and everything happened for a reason. And it's all led me to here. And now, you know, they say sky's the limit. I'm so excited for the next chapter. You know, they say that the best is yet to come, you know, bring it back to like a Frank Sinatra, New York. But it's, you know, I'm really excited about what's next. And I don't know what is exactly next. I know that there's a lot of things that have been happening over the past couple of months and year between, you know, joining OTI and, you know, and starting to coach. Cause I just said to my wife one day, I said, you know, I think I could help people. And then Andy Ramage came into my life through OTI. And then other things just kind of like started to happen one thing after another. And it was funny. Actually, I was listening to Andy Ramage's podcast and he had, Scott Harrison, this guy from Six Pack Revolution on. And then I did Six Pack Revolution and I just lost, you know, 3 stone this year because my first year of quitting alcohol, I said, I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want. I don't care if I'm going to eat pizza, ice cream, snacks, whatever. As long as I don't drink, I will do whatever I want. And, you know, like and I still lost weight last year. You know, I was still fit, going to the gym, being active because I like being active. But, you know, finally this year, I felt as though I got the alcohol under control. And I said, okay, now I'm going to focus on my body. And I just finished the program last week and, you know, lost 3 stone and I'm in the best shape of my life. And it's, you know, it's exciting. Very exciting.
You know what I've really picked up from this, and I bet Ben agrees with me on this, you know, going back to that date, that 2015, when things began to happen, things began to change. And you talked about the meditation, the journaling, the quitlet, the therapy, embracing your faith more, all of this. It's bloody hard work, isn't it, James? Like, it's not simply a case of saying, I'm going to stop drinking now and all my problems in life will be solved. It's a process, and it is, I don't think we've used this word on the podcast for maybe a couple of weeks now. It is a journey from start, well,
I
say from start to finish, the J word. I don't think it finishes. It's never ending. It just continues. But you put the effort in and you put the work in and you will get there, you know, and just listening to what you've shared so far, I just get this real sense of how much work you've put into yourself. and that it's not been an easy journey. I remember you joining OTI. It wasn't easy in the beginning because none of this is. But as we say, you know, and I hope you understand this phrase, and you know, because it is very sort of northern and incredibly British, use your full arse because you can't half any, you can't half arse any of this, can you?
No, no, 100%. No, you have to full arse it. There's no taking it. You can't live in both worlds, and I think that's what we don't realize at first when we start on this journey. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You have to be 100% committed. So, you know, even though, you know, I've been going through this process with alcohol for the last couple of years, and I think that people say like, oh, can't you just have one? And I'm at the point that I'm like, I don't want anything. I want not, you know, like it is hard at first. It is very hard. And, you know, yeah, maybe I'm at that point that you could go out, you could have one drink here or there, but what's the point? You know, I know where it's going to get me. And this is now a choice that I've made in my life. Like Ben was saying, like this has changed everything, every single thing. Like, you know, my marriage is amazing. Like our marriage is so strong now and we're on the same page and, you know, we're a team and, you know, we're, you know, it's great. And my parenting is great. And my professional life is great. And, you know, so many things. And it's not about bragging about it. It's about, you know, just being happy and being thankful and being in the moment. It is work. It is work every single day. I mean, I have so many different practices that I do on a regular basis because, yeah, you do get your head up your ass and you do get the monkey mind going. And, you know, it's normal. It's human. It's, you know, it's just part of life. And so often that's when I would have gone to go and numb out and drink and, you know, make things probably worse. And now it's instead you could do a meditation or go for a walk. And, you know, I have different practices that I do when I walk. You know, one is called like a brain practice where you recognize and accept and investigate and nurture. And that came from Tara Brach. And, you know, I do something else that I kind of came up with myself. It's a 7-day look back, and I go with my dog and he's like my little therapist, my Paddington, and we go for a 4-mile walk and I look back over the past seven days. And it's amazingly how it makes you feel so grounded to look back at the things that you've done over those 7 days, and you could pick out the things that were stressful or the things that, you know, you may categorize as a failure or a success or special moments that you spent with your family or, you know, good things that were, you know, just the things that you did. And it really just helps you feel very, very much grounded and puts things in perspective.
I'm going to throw something at you though, James.
Yeah.
I want us to dig into this together.
Let's go.
As, you know, three highly intelligent people on one call. I'm going to say to you that, yes, I get it. It's hard, but it's easy. And I know that's an oxymoron. Not calling you, you're not a moron. It's an oxymoron. You're a moron.
You're pointing at me. How rude. How dare you?
But, you know, it's hard, but it's easy. And, you know, it's going alcohol free is scary, but it's comforting. And what I'm saying, so this is something that I've been learning about, Sharon, in our therapy that we get through Older Hay. You know, I do it once a month, me and Jem.
Okay, this is interesting. Yeah.
So it's the idea that you can hold two conflicting, like two things can be true at the same time, even if they oppose. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, with the, you know, yeah, oh my God, going alcohol free, how am I going to go to that event? I've got this wedding coming up, and what are people going to say? And, oh, that's scary. But also, oh, I'm so glad I'm not going to wake up feeling like crap tomorrow. And I know that I'm just going to be me, and I'm going to say things that I think that I would say, not things that I am saying because I'm pissed and being an idiot. Do you know what I mean? It's scary and it's comforting. It's hard. But it's easy, and I suppose it's that you see this around. I'm sure that you follow Instagram pages with inspirational quotes, James. You seem like the kind of guy that would. But it is that idea of choose your hard, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
no,
you've chosen
absolutely
your hard.
Well, I know that you retired your quote board, but this is
well, you say that. I haven't retired it. I just can't fit any more on.
You need a new one.
I need a bigger board. Yes.
You know, one that I love is easy choices, hard life, hard choices, easy life. And that's from Jerzy Gregorek. And he was a gold medal Olympic weightlifter. And he was on Tim Ferriss. And, it, you know, it's it just comes to, you know, when you're making those easy choices in life to give in with alcohol or whatever it might be, whatever the vice might be, you know, you're really just making things harder for yourself down the line. Whereas if you are making that hard choice initially and it gets easier, you know, the alcohol, I mean, you guys are way ahead of me in this alcohol thing, but it gets to the point that you're not thinking about it anymore. It's not, you're not doing those daily mental gymnastics. But you're making your whole life easier. I mean, I'm not getting into arguments with my wife like I used to. I'm not living like with regret like I used to. I'm not, you know, feeling all, you know, all those things that I was feeling before, the anxiety, the, you know, that, you know, I was listening to something else yesterday where they said, you know, when you're depressed, it's, you know, you're ruminating about the past. And when you're anxious, you're worrying about the future. And, you know, I was kind of like living in both of those worlds for a long time, a long, long, long time. And I honestly never thought that I would escape it. And I did. And honestly, I feel so liberated.
You're getting emotional.
Yeah. I get that way.
I want to know why.
I get that.
When you're talking about yourself there and, you know, feeling depressed, living in the past, feeling anxious, living in the future, how does it feel for you now then, living now, here and now in the present?
It's incredible. You know, I feel, you know, I as part of my whole thing over the past couple of months, I've been looking back at my old journals and I have them from when I started day one in 2015. Like, I'm going to start journaling. I'm going to try this thing out. I don't even know what I'm doing. And, you know, one of my entries along the way, and it said, what would you like to create a brighter future? Or would you like to create a brighter future? And I said, yes, yes, yes. 100 times, 1,000 times, yes. I would like to be proud, confident, reliable, dependable, respected, loved, strong, and in charge of my future, healthy, adventurous, and fulfilled. And you know, I feel like I, you know, I do feel like that. I feel like I have achieved those things, and you know, they are work every single day, but I'm living a life that I'm proud of, and I'm there. I'm a good dad. I'm a good husband. I'm a good son. I'm a good brother. I'm a good friend. You know, like, yeah, it takes a little bit of time to get to the other side of when people are questioning your decision and you're questioning your decision, you know, but then you realize the impact that you're having in other people's lives. And it's honestly, it's magic. And, you know, that's how I want to spend my life. I want to be able to give back. I want to be able to, you know, help people, you know, that were in the same position that I was or struggling in other areas of their life. You know, I want to be that kind of lighthouse for people in their life.
When you read back that first journal entry, and that was James at the age of 34, 10 years ago, how on earth does that make you feel?
It's, you know, I would have never imagined that my life would be, you know, where it is at this point today. And, you know, that things would have been in such a good place, because I felt like things were so out of control at that point, even though there was just, you know, a normal, you know, like my life was normal and I was doing well at work. And, you know, my marriage was going as regular marriage does and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, like I realized that I was so worried about stuff in life and I was so worried about work and this and that and the other. And really, I don't feel that way anymore. And I'm honestly, I'm hitting now on all cylinders more than ever, which is interesting. You know, and I've taken up hobbies and I've, you know, like I feel like I'm a different person than I was before. And that's what's strange sometimes. It's almost like you can't recognize the person that you were. And then you just have to ground yourself and say, you know, you're still that person. This was in you. This was always in you. It was honestly, it was the alcohol that was preventing you from being this person.
James, I'm going to ask you to look at your notes now, because I know that this is an important moment for you, isn't it, personally? You've been looking forward to coming on the podcast, sharing your story. I do need to reserve some time at the end to, you know, like you're an advertising executive in New York City, in Midtown Manhattan.
Then don't do this.
Even just... just even by naturally talking, like earlier on, you said, you know, I found you guys and it was, you know, you were celebrating, not stigmatizing. And I was like, oh my God, get that on a t-shirt immediately.
Oh,
celebrate,
alive.
Celebrate, don't stigmatize.
The alliteration. Oh my God, it's amazing.
I can hear the chants. You know, yeah. Mate, that was you, James.
Oh God, stop.
That was all you.
Sorry, James.
So we need
James,
to reserve some time because you're also an OTI super fan and we love it when guests come on and blow a bit of smoke up our ass for them. But,
you know, oh yeah, you can do that till the cows come home. Really, that's not a problem.
What's on your notes, James? What haven't we talked about yet that you really want to talk about?
We covered a lot of it. What I am excited to share is, you know, as I mentioned, I did the coaching course with Andy Ramage last year. So I did launch my coaching business this year, and you know, kind of like a fast to fail kind of thing. So just kind of like jumped into it. But I did, you know, I have an Instagram page, coach_with_James. So I'd love for people to check that out. And then my website is coach-with-james.com.
A lot of dashes, a lot of underscores on my
page. Yeah, I know. And
I'm currently doing it on Instagram.
I'm still trying to figure it all out. And I've actually taken during Lent, because I kind of like went all, I really dove into it and I felt like it was taking a lot of like headspace. So I decided during Lent to take a social media detox, take a step back and to just, you know, process things a little bit and see what I want to do. And, you know, I'm in a position that I do want to grow this and I do want to focus on it. And long term, it is part of my plan to, you know, to hopefully be a speaker. You know, I was heard, James, is it Laughlin from New Zealand was on a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, like what he does in terms of being a speaker and working with, you know, companies and working with individuals, like I would love for that to be that's what I'm looking forward to do in the future. You know, but right now I'm focusing on getting my skill set and continuing to work on building my skill set. So that's what I'd like to do. So continue to work with clients I'm working with. I've done stuff at my Toastmasters club and I've done some group coaching with them. But really, if anybody wants to connect or find me, and then as I mentioned, I'm going to be in London at the beginning of May for the coaching graduation.
This is really exciting. Like from New York to actual London.
Yep.
That is incredibly exciting.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was in London during college during the summer of 2020 and it was a completely different trip, right? You're getting pissed the whole time and just, yeah. You know, like the whole nine. So it was about 6 weeks in London. So I'm looking forward to traveling as an adult, as a sober adult.
As an actual grown up.
It's like a solo trip, which as a parent, you guys know, it's very difficult to take solo trips. So I made a little bit of a deal with the missus. And I not only, since I've been to London already, that was going to be a fun thing to do and monumental thing to do. But we decided to, with another OTI member, and we're going to try to bring in more people into the mix. We're going to be climbing Ben Nevis. So we're going to tack on Scotland. And so that's going to be on that Sunday. So I think that's May 3rd or 4th.
That's amazing.
Right around that time. So if anybody would like to join us, please. Is reach out and we would love to.
Oh, you know, James.
The more, yeah, the merrier. And it's Ben and Chaz, if you guys are available, then come on down.
We're not actually doing Ben Nevis this year.
I know. It's going to be Sunday the 4th.
Oh.
When are you in London, James?
It's going to be the first weekend in May. So I leave to get out there on the 30th of April, and then I'm coming back to New York. It's a quick turnaround.
I love Americans, and they're just like, I'm just gonna come over, and in the same trip, I'm gonna hop from Memphis to London. Like if you live here, you'd be like,
it's quite a
trek. Oh my God,
it is quite.
What have I done? I've booked bloody Ben Nevis and London all at the same few days.
Let's do it. Let's do it, man.
He's from New York.
I'm a New Yorker. Darn it. I got all the energy in the world, Ben. It's amazing.
We've probably got just about 5 minutes left. I want to go back again, okay? I know we're ping-ponging all around in terms of your story, but I just want to pick up on something that you said a little bit earlier on in the chat, and it was when you were referring to your dad and that you said that he made you a fantastic father because you didn't want to be like him.
Yeah.
Tell us about you, James, the dad to your two incredible children.
Now you are going to get me to well up. You know, like I'm there for them every day. I'm present with them every single day. You know, I'm not the most perfect dad in the world. It could be, look, being a parent is hard work. But you know, me and my wife both try to do our best to be good parents, but I coach their basketball teams and their baseball teams. And, you know, I try to, you know, I'm honest with them. They know, you know, like my 14-year-old, especially, she knows about kind of like, you know, the coaching stuff and the alcohol stuff. And, you know, like we try not to be like overtly like, you know, like so, open with them about it. But not open, but just like that it's so present with them. But I think they realize that their dad is present and that their dad loves to do stuff with them and that their dad loves them and that their dad, and I tell them about like my dad not being there for me. And, you know, it was really, really hard, to grow up that way. And I'm lucky that there was a lot of love in my house and in my family, that I was able to overcome that. And I just, honestly, they are, you know, they're great kids and, you know, we like to support them in anything that they're doing and they're, you know, they're just sweet. I feel like my wife and I, our parenting and our, you know, wanting to be good role models for them is hopefully raising good, strong, good-hearted, conscious, loving kids. And I do think so. My daughter's a big singer and yeah, she loves singing. And I honestly, she walks around the house constantly. She's always singing. And I just said to my daughter, my wife yesterday, I said, you know, it's amazing how she's always singing, you know, like she must be so happy. She's like a Disney character, like always just singing all amazing. Over the house. And, you know, and of course,
birds following, squirrels running across.
Yeah, right. Floor. Exactly. And then of course you tell her to like pick up her stuff in the bathroom and you get the 14-year-old attitude. So.
But, you can't have it always, no, James. No, it's not always.
not at all. But yeah, they're, you know, it's so important. It was so important for me. I mean, that really, they are the reason. They're a big, big reason, that I feel like I am the way that I am, because that did go back. That always stuck with me, that telling my dad that. And that was right before, like, he had left, you know, not wanting to be like him. And he had taught me how to be a great dad. Cause I never wanted to be like that. And, you know, it was something that I wanted to stick to, that promise that I made. And I think that I have so far.
just listening to you speak about your wife and your family, and actually yourself as well, you know, you're doing amazing things. It's fantastic. It's been incredible.
Thank you.
Before you go, let's give this Instagram page another plug and your website with all the hashtags, with all the hyphens and the underscores. I already follow you, James, on Instagram. Coach_with_James. Okay, yep. Very, very simple. And the website, coach-with-james.com. There we go.
You got it.
James, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been amazing.
Thank you for giving OTI a chance all that time ago, James.
Of course, no, thank you. Thank you, guys. OTI, I feel like I was on my way, but and it's amazing the timing of how, you know, I became a community member, and you know, it has been, pretty much been hand in hand. It's been the secret sauce to my sobriety, and just being part of a group of like-minded people. And I do hope to make it on one of the OTI adventures one day. But just finding people that I could call friends, and you know, I was so looking forward to this conversation. So thank you.
James, it's been a pleasure. Ben, just can you quickly write that down? The secret sauce to... Write it down. Get it on a t-shirt. James, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us on Over the Influence.
Thanks, guys.